everybody. Welcome to Advice for Life with Lynn. Today's issue is how we can turn our lives around on a dime just by the way we process stress and look at life. Really, it's all about your thoughts.
That other person, like, God, man, you are so negative. And you say out loud, I hear you. What do you do with that judgment?
You know what, Lynn? You remember, we're reverse engineering the brain.
Okay.
So we're going backwards, right? So, and I have moments like this all the time. Like, I'll hang up the phone or and the conversation wasn't inspiring. And I notice how I've had an addiction of like, oh, what an idiot. Or whatever, right? Lynn, I'm so aware now that I just don't do it. And by not doing those little complainings that nobody's even watching, it's retraining the other ones to come less and less and less.
You have problems? She has answers. Getting down to the nitty-gritty with people who know what they're talking about. This is Advice for Life with Lynn.
This main podcast, the main subject rather, is about complaining, negativity. We all do it. I'm not talking about venting. I did a podcast on venting versus complaining. And venting is, I feel, a necessary part of life. You just got to let the air out of the balloon. You know, sometimes I need to call my sister and vent about somebody at work or maybe my husband. And she listens and we laugh, cackle like two hens. And I feel better and I'm over it. Done. No, complaining is droning on and on and on about something or someone you're upset about or unhappy with. It's kind of nonstop, and it's really annoying to people who are around you. There is absolutely nothing positive about complaining, droning on and on. You cannot see the positive in anything when you're complaining, and you feel bad. Typically, we're just looking for validation from somebody that our complaints are valid and worth bitching about. But it does no good. So if you ever take a moment to listen to yourself or others, you'll notice how complaining makes you feel, how it feels in your body. The other day, I was dying to call my friend to complain about somebody. You know, bitch, not vent, complain. And I just wanted to go off. Like, this person is so annoying to me sometimes. And my therapist would say, what about you? What does that say about you, Lynn? What's in you? I didn't want to talk about me. I wanted to complain about this person. But I noticed, obviously, have some sort of awareness. When I do complain, I feel so crappy about myself after. And, you know, in the moment, I tell a great story, and the other person laughs, so their eyes are bugging out. And this gives my ego great satisfaction. It's so much fun. But after, I feel just as bad as I did when I started to complain, if not worse. So you know what I did? I didn't call my friend, and I didn't complain. In fact, this is the most complaining I've been doing about this person. So anyway, I'm sure I'm annoying sometimes too, for sure. So how can we tweak our lives to be happier, but perhaps not by complaining? I'm really, this is sort of a whitewash where we'll dive deeper into bigger issues, but most of us, I think Oprah said it recently, she just wants to be happier. So how can we be happier by not complaining? Today's guest is Jorge Perez. Jorge just wrote a book called I'm going to just curse. It's the title of the book, Shut the Fuck Up Method. Or I'll just say for the rest of this podcast, Shut the F Up Method. Silent Your Way to the Life of Your Dreams. That's the title of his book. Jorge, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
You live in LA, but you're from Kendall. So, you know, I feel like you're just definitely a South Florida boy, but it doesn't matter. You're an all around self-aware person, but this didn't happen overnight. How did you come to write this book?
So, you know, one of my biggest passions has been personal development. You know, when I was 20 years old, I went to India for a month. My mom really got me into the path. And for the past 25 years, I've studied with Abraham Hicks, A Course in Miracles, Marianne Williamson. If there's a cult, I'm joining. I love going deep and finding out what makes me tip. But I think what really detonated it, this book, was that both of my parents, they passed away from cancer. My dad in 2019, he had leukemia, and my mom in 2022 from a breast cancer that metastasized, which took me on a deep dive on, okay, what does that mean genetically for me and my sister and what triggered it? And I really started studying under Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is a chiropractor by trade, but he created these retreats in which he teaches people epigenetics, how your genetics affect you and what sets off predispositions from your genetics, neuroplasticity, how you can like
retrain
mold your brain,
brain
retrain mm-hmm. the brain. And it really the work dives deep into how we can almost rewire our brain and what triggers diseases like cancer, and people go there and some people have like instantaneous remissions. And I really found out and I got really intimate with the fact that it was stress that detonated in my parents' bodies. You know, my dad was always really upset about what happened in Venezuela and with his business. My mom never really got over the divorce. So I really do think that it was the constant state of fight or flight that detonated. And
they divorced each other.
Right. So from there, I started thinking, okay, I got into the work and I just, this is a really true story. I started volunteering at these retreats and I would still notice that people on staff were like complaining and bitching. And I'm like,
On the retreat.
And like, literally, there's no food or where's the bathroom? And I'm like, man, if people really want to change, they need to shut the fuck up. Like, it started as a joke. And I'm like, if I ever write a book, it's going to be called Shut the Fuck Up. And then somebody dared me to do it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start. And the book just flew out of me, Lynn. It took about a month and a half. And it really goes deep into not repression. The whole thing about the book, it's not repressing. It's being mindful. You know, because when let's say what you were saying before, calling up your sister, right? And in the book, I have the shut the fuck up commandments. And one of them is like, thou shalt not talk shit about someone. And if thou were to do it, you pick one friend, right? And you also don't use their name. So
that's a good idea. Yeah. Why? What's the advantage of that?
Because here's the thing. So let's say you and I are friends and Mary is a mutual friend, right? And all of a sudden, my experience of Mary is that she's cheap with me. Every time we go out, she doesn't pay. Then all of a sudden now I deposited that into your thought pattern, right? And all of a sudden you're going to attract that behavior from Mary and then you're going to turn around to me like, you know what? You were right. She is cheap.
We look for witnesses.
You look for, and energetically, when I tell you something, you energetically look for it because this is quantum science.
Right.
When you look at you as the observer, you impact what happens. When you're looking for something, you find it.
I agree. But let's go with that. Let's go with the cheap Mary. Uh-huh. Okay. So you deposited that thought into your friend's mind or my mind, whatever. Uh-huh. And then I look for the truth in that, whatever I think the truth is. I'm like, oh yeah, look at her. Yeah, she's not even tipping 20%. This is terrible.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. You're going to experience Mary being cheap. Do you want that? Okay, here's the thing.
Gotcha.
I don't want you to experience Mary a way that I know that I wouldn't want to experience Mary. So right now, Mary feels cheap to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the minute I tell you, I just infected you with the possibility of also you experiencing that. And I don't want that. I want to be responsible for my space.
I was going to say that's the difference because, you know, there are people, I am so unaware a lot of times in the day, so I'm not acting like I'm Buddha, but some of us are, I don't know, let me go dark. Some people, uh-huh. Like when I was saying, oh, I love telling a good story. I love making people laugh. And maybe it's at the expense of somebody else.
Right.
So what is bad about that? What is icky?
There's nothing bad. Nothing is good or bad, in my opinion, right? Everything that I'm saying, by the way, is my opinion. But I think that there is a way that we can retrain ourselves to speak and still get the point across. What I mean by that is like you can still tell a juicy story. But how about not using the name of the person? How about like you're talking about Carlos? You're like, oh my God! So I have this friend because now you're saving the anonymity of that person. You don't know what your stories eventually are going to come back.
It's more about you.
Yeah, it's more about. But once you develop that integrity in how you speak, it comes back to you. People are going to start talking less about you too.
So, I mean, some people would say this karma, energy, whatever. What you put out is what you get back.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's also, so a lot of my book, it's also about lowering the narrative of things. And what I mean by that is like, if I'm like, hey, Lynn, how's it going? And you're like, oh, you know, same shit, different day. Then energetically, you're putting equity on feels like. So how can you get, because it's not about repression, right? It's about mindfulness. So how can you get that point across instead of like, hey, Lynn, how's it going? You know, it's going. It's going, now you softened. You're not depositing that deep, like, oh, same shit every day. You're like, it's going. If you're saying it's going, there's possibility for shift.
That's true. Sort of like fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, you brought repression up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. How do we shut the F up, but acknowledging our feelings at the same time?
Okay. So the book, what I love about the book is that it is a series of hacks, right? So again, it's not repression. You should get it out, right? You should get it out. You should go to the source, right? Like, if you have an issue with somebody, what I do is like, I pick one friend, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I literally start like, calling everybody I know until I find that one friend, and nobody picks up. My fourth person picks up, and I tell the person, I go, hey, Carolina, I got to tell you this issue that I'm having with this person, and you're the only person that's going to hear it. And trust me, Lynn, that creates like a bond.
Oh, that's nice. The person's that's a good idea.
I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. And usually the feedback and advice you get from that person is just like top notch, because they know that they hold the space for you undoing yourself and having a breakthrough. So I'll tell my story. Let it out. Mm-hmm. And then my other three friends will call back and be like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, and I tell them, because I want to, it's like, we're always teaching something, right? So I want to create that behavior in other people as well. So Carlos will call me. He's like, hey, what happened? I'm like, you know what? I only always tell one person when I need to get off my chest, and somebody called me back already, so I'm good. And then they're like, well, are you sure?
Did he get his feelings hurt?
But they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, it's just, I always just tell one person.
Okay.
So it's good. And then they're like, cool. And I don't know, Lynn, I could only speak for myself, but just letting it out to one person,
that's a good idea. Yeah.
It's all I need. Because by you going around telling your sister, your cousin, the Uber driver,
you're
just like keeping that energy going.
For sure.
And guess what? You're making your body go through those same chemicals again. You're throwing that OxyContin all the way up again. And you're actually like abusing yourself, because you're reliving that. Your brain doesn't know the difference between a story that happened and the experience of now. So that traumatizing thing, that's why when we complain, like we give into the addiction, like the addiction of a drug. It's like, oh, let me do that hit of heroin. But then the minute it finishes, you're depleted. You don't feel any better.
You feel bad. Yes,
you feel bad.
You just
moved furniture. Nothing changed.
So have you ever done this in your personal life, or talk about this in your book, where, my guru will push me to, we do group therapy every week. It's a spiritual group, whatever. It's kind of a cult too. But anyway, but we're not allowed to, we can complain, but we always have to take responsibility for the feelings. So for example, Mary, let's say, I bring it up and I say, oh, she's so cheap. I have to ask myself, well, what does this bring up in me?
Mm.
What's going on with me? Have you ever done that in your life? Like, okay, I can put it on Mary. She's so cheap, but what it makes me feel maybe, myself, brings up my own financial insecurities, or I feel like I have to take care of people. Or do you ever look into yourself when you're projecting the complaint on the world?
Great question. Maybe it's through all the work that I've been doing my whole life. I've been really a student of self-awareness, and I know that nobody really exists outside of my story of them. So,
well, The Course in Miracles says that weird statement, right? There's nobody out there.
Right.
I didn't get that for years. Now I'm like, oh, well, there are people out there. It's just that everything is coming from you.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way, right? I have a story of you, Lynn. Your mom has a story of you. Your ex-husband has a story of you. Your new husband has another story of you, hopefully better than the ex-husband. Mm-hmm. Which one of us is right?
Well, I guess you're all right, because it's your own story.
Exactly. Well, Byron Katie, who's another amazing teacher I used to have, she used to say, two human beings have never met. It's just my story of you meeting your story of me.
That's deep.
Yeah. No one's ever met anyone. So if you have an issue with somebody, you're having an issue with with your story
yourself.
Of them.
Yes. Yeah.
So clean up that story. So at the end of the day, the life turns out to be just, look at it this way. It's a movie. Your movie is your life projected into a screen. So all of a sudden you have a screen and it's your movie. It's the Lynn movie. Mm-hmm. And then you see a spot in the movie, right? In the wall. And you're, my husband. So you go out and force it and clean him up and pick up your socks or whatever. Then your kid, he's not studying for his SATs, whatever. My body, my job, my coworker. You have the Lin movie and you have it in the screen and you spend all this time forcing, manipulating, changing your husband, changing your coworker. And at the end, all you had to really do is clean the projector and then they all get clean. And when I say clean the projector is the analogy of like acceptance and really have compassion for them and for you. Mm-hmm. So I was talking about it with my sister the other day. So it could be a mix of things. For me, it's actually empathy. You know, for example, if I have an issue with somebody, I'm assuming that they have the tools to handle life the way that I do. And that's arrogance. Because I don't know you. I don't know how you grew up. Right. I don't know genetically what you came wired with. So how could I even assume or even remotely think that you can do what I can?
Okay, so that you gave us a great hack. Tell one person instead of droning on, just so you can let it out. Give us another hack that's in your book as to how to look at life differently and shut the F up.
You know, in the commandments, like, by the way, if you go on my website, the website launched today. So,
because special.
So it's, stfumethod.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go on it and you leave your email and you become part of a mailing list, you're going to get the introduction, the first four chapters. And chapter two is the shut the fuck up commandments, right? And the commandments are just kind of like, you know, they're very like, thou shalt not talk shit about someone. And then I go deeper into the explanation of them, right? So what it is, it's so when you talk about people, start pausing. Don't use their names. Don't get into that habit of it. If you have a problem, if you get a wrong order at a restaurant, change it. Make your request, but just don't go around telling everybody what a bad order you had. Cause that's, you see what I'm saying? It's that complaining.
It solidifies that negativity.
Yeah. If, you know, I've had people ask me things like, well, what if, you know, like, let's say you're a parent, right? Uh-huh. Let's say you're a parent and there's another parent that you heard something like they are weird with kids, something that could potentially hurt another kid. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you want to shut the fuck up, right? You want to STFU, but there's a kid in danger of something, right? So my thing is like, go to the source. For example, if I'm a parent and you're a parent and I know something about somebody else and I know your kid's going there, my integrity is to go up to you and be like, hey, just to let you know, I heard this and your kids.
That's different than complaining.
Right.
Or gossiping.
Exactly.
That's taking action
on something. But sometimes I get that. People bring that up because they're like, well, if you don't talk, then what if you're allowing something to happen? That's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know. I went to like the extreme case.
No. That's a good example.
Yeah. Cause I think like, We're so incentivized. Our culture, there's a rampant addiction to like express ourselves, right? It's like express yourself, don't hold back. And that's where like when you hear, obviously, I know the title of the book is very provocative. It's like shut the fuck up. The resistance that I felt is like, well, I'm not gonna repress myself. But it's not repression. It's mindfulness. It's taking one beat before you detonate and you keep perpetuating that energy. You know what I mean?
Yes. Let's put it on the outside world instead of talking about ourselves. Uh-huh. How do you handle highly negative people? Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially with politics. Lord have mercy. Or traffic. Like, oh, my God. You know, I live in Aventura. It's, you know. A lot of beeping. A lot of flipping off. You know, how do you handle, I find like older people in general that complain a lot about.
Mm-hmm. It's a things, cultural habit. It's
a habit. Yeah. Things are expensive, which they are.
Yeah.
You know, politics are in the trash bag, which they are. Everything's wrong. The weather's bad. Everything's bad. How do you handle highly negative people that you either live with or work with or have to deal a lot with?
Yeah. Great question. So that is one of the commandments. Thou shalt be generous when someone is shit talking, right? and also, so the way that I handle it, and it took me a minute because it's like a practice, right? It's like going to the gym. I remember that when I first started really applying it, and somebody would be negative, if a friend would call me on the phone, I would just hey, I gotta go. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm gonna be less and less with negative conversations. But after a while, I was like, no. If I believe that everybody is who they're supposed to be and everybody's doing exactly what they're supposed to, then I need to be generous. So if you're in my space and you're complaining, I practice generosity. So I'm like, okay, she's doing her thing. And then I'll look for ways to change the subject. Most people won't notice. You change the subject, like they'll go around with it, you know? What hasn't really worked for me is to like give them a whole like, well, you know, you're attracting your energy. And I talk about
nobody wants to hear that.
No, and I brought this up in the book. And to me, Lynn, when bring me somebody that triggers me, and that's my master.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say that because it is all about us.
Yeah.
Right. So if that person, let's go there. Uh-huh. Let's say it's me. I'm like, oh my God, all right, this is so annoying. This place, this building is so annoying, and the traffic is terrible. My ex-husband, I can't stand him, and I my body, I wish it was different. What are you going to do? And let's say it triggers you. God, this girl is so heavy. God, get away from me. So, what do you do with that?
So this is actually another commandment. You, when there's a shit-talking person in the room, you're going to literally say, I hear you. I'm hearing words coming out of your mouth. I'm not agreeing with you.
Right.
I'm not jumping in to tell you my shitty stories and like how I, like my father-in-law or whatever.
You're acknowledging.
So I'm acknowledging. And usually that person won't even notice that you're not also jumping in the complaining, but the energy will shift and they'll start wrapping it up. You literally go, I hear you. You'll nod. You'll go, yeah, that's, uh-huh. Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you do? Perfect, because that's how I handle it too. Uh-huh. But I used to also try to fix too, but I realized I was just trying to fix myself and change the other person, which nobody likes. Yeah. What do you do with that? Because, come on, Jorge, I know you. You know, you have to at some point be judging that other person. Like, God, man, you are so negative. And you say out loud, I hear you. What do you do with that judgment?
You know what, Lynn? You remember, we're reverse engineering the brain.
Okay.
So we're actually going backwards, right? So, and I have moments like this all the time. Like I'll hang up the phone and the conversation wasn't inspiring. And I notice how I've had an addiction of like, oh, what an idiot or whatever, right? Lynn, I'm so aware now that I just don't do it. And by not doing those little complainings that nobody's even watching, it's retraining the other ones to come less and less and
okay.
less.
Okay. I like that, but it's going to come up because it's, like you said, it's a habit. So when it comes up and it's in your throat, you want to say and roll your eyes, what an idiot. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that feeling in your throat? You not get it, give it attention. You say, I don't do it. What is it you don't do?
You acknowledge it. Okay. So here's the thing. So if you are going to be like, what an idiot, here's the thing about this work, Lynn. It's a crack in the wall. That crack is just going to keep getting, it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. You won't be able to stop it. So now, I mean, I will indulge in gossip here and there. I will like say things here and there. I'm not, the whole point is not perfection or repression, but the mindfulness now is out of this world.
You're like, watching it.
I'm watching it. I'm not going to, or like, oh, he's an idiot. I'll even joke about it. I'm like, you know what? This is against my book, but I'm going to say it. This guy's an asshole. And that's it. But guess what? I'm doing it now with mindfulness.
Right.
So that's maybe huge. Instead of doing it 10 times a day, I'm doing it once a day. Mm-hmm. Now I'm doing it 3 times a week. Now I'm doing it once a week. Now it stopped. I can honestly tell you from the bottom of my heart, I don't complain. It's not wired in me. I'm going to tell you a story that happened yesterday. It's amazing. So yesterday... No, and I love how the universe puts me on tests. It's like, oh, you're the shut the fuck up guy? Let's see how you do. So I came in from LA 2 nights ago, staying at my house. Long story short, I took the wrong key. My house has 2 locks in Miami, and I took the wrong, I didn't have 1 key. Mm-hmm. Now it's 1 in the morning, and the tenant's upstairs, I'm ringing the doorbell, nobody's opening the door, and I'm like, it's 1 in the morning, and I'm like, okay. I can't get mad at my cousin, I can't get mad at, who am I getting? The neighbor comes out, what's going on? I'm like, everything's fine. So I'm like, all right, hotel's tonight. I'm going to the dentist the next morning by the Doral. So I'm like, I'll just get a hotel by there. So I get to the hotel. There was this girl that she was like, oh, I didn't even have time to check you in through the thing. So you're going to have to wait. And I'm like, okay. So she's checking me in. And, then I asked the valet guy where the room is. He's like, it's to the left. It was bullshit. It was to the right. So I'm like, all these little things. And I just kept breathing through it. And I'm like, all right, it's fine. I get to my bed. And then the next morning I woke up and I'm like, God, I get so much pleasure now, Lynn. Not from getting what I want, but seeing how I reacted when I didn't get what I want, which is so much more deep. It's like patting yourself on the back going,
yes,
wow. Either I didn't react or my refractory period was really short, my reaction period, right? So anyway, so wake up the next morning, go to the dentist, and the dentist like chips a little bit of my tooth. And I'm like, so I text my friend who works there, and I'm like, this happened, what do you suggest? And then he's like, let me look into it. Then my sister calls me, and I'm like, all right, I kind of told my one person. I'm like, Vanessa, you're going to be my 1.5 person. and Vanessa's like, oh, they can buff it. They can buff that thing out. So I tell my friend, hey, I think they could just buff it out. He was like, oh my God, yeah, we could just come back. So I came back, Lynn. And yesterday I was like dealing with the key things, and, but it, there was, a navigation process. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't like, I noticed how I, the greatest thing, Lynn, and this comes from obviously losing both my parents to cancer. We don't want to bitch and complain and get upset, because we got to start thinking of our bodies like a child, like taking care of our child. And we don't, adding that unnecessary stress of complaining, it's a compounding effect. Yeah. And I do believe, and this is just my belief system, that we're seeing the epidemic of cancer or autoimmune diseases because of the amount of stress that we're injecting in this body. The body finally goes, you know, because when we're on fight or flight, which is our stress state, by the way, fight or flight is great if there's a dinosaur chasing you, because you,
right,
you
we don't need that anymore.
We don't need that. Your brain goes on beta, which is high alert, and your immune system goes down. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, like most of us, and studies show, are living 70% of our lives in fight or flight. Mm-hmm. That is not sustainable for the human body. So the body, cancer, any autoimmune, ALS, basically detonates because your body's going, yo, I can't do this anymore. Now, you can go on the whole spiritual side and talk to people once they got obviously any disease, I think eventually takes you to a place where your evolution, your spiritual evolution comes. I don't think cancer or any disease is a punishment. I think that's,
it's a lesson.
I think that's more like when that saying, like the universe first whispers. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pay attention, it knocks harder until finally it's like, all right, this is how you want to learn the lesson of let go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So that was a great story. And you were very aware of your challenges for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a great tip too. What do you do when sometimes I find myself, you know, being positive can be exhausting. Like at work, if I'm swimming in a pool of negativity and everything everybody says, I feel it. There's some truth in it. You know, it's just what you focus on.
Exactly.
So let's say I'm at work and I'm known as like the, you know, poly positive, and, you know, I'm 20 minutes into, well, guys, look at it this way. Well, look at that. And then I just want to jump into the bay. So like, what do you do when it comes to positive fatigue?
God, you know what? I just want to say something that I just had a download. You're so amazing, because your job is like, it's, you're out there like putting this face and smiling and even like you've taught your body to have a tone that's probably really foreign to maybe what you're feeling at the moment, but you still got to bring it. So I could understand how like there's a buildup for someone like you where like your body's going, yo girl, like this was enough.
Well, my husband and I had gone into a pretty deep, serious argument early in our marriage. He's a big news watcher.
Mm-hmm. perfect romance.
Anchor the news, and I anchor an entertainment show because that keeps me sane. Anyway, I came home to this condo and he had a certain channel on, and I was like, I can't have the news on. I mean, I had to really push my point for a good 3 weeks. Yeah. So, and last night I came home, and it's just a trigger. It's a visceral trigger.
Yeah.
And because I do have to repress and try to go to positivity every day, I saw it on TV, but it was on mute. And I was like, oh, he's really trying. That's nice. That's nice. I don't have the answer for myself. What do you do with fatigue?
I think, okay. And now I'm going to call you out on something that I think would really, really be so good for you, which is meditation. And I'll tell you why. So here's the thing about meditation. I know a lot of people get really triggered about, you have to think about it this way. Maybe this way will land. We are wired, Lynn, to survive. we are the descendants of people that were like murdered or died of a horrible disease that there was no cure for. So now here you are, you and I in the 21st century, like with like Amazon Prime. Right. Like things aren't that, like no one's dying over an Amazon Prime.
Correct.
So, but we're still wired to survive, to like, and you know, but the new enemy is the credit card bill.
Right.
The, your reservation is not in the hotel. The restaurant reservation is making you wait an hour. That's the new enemy, right? So imagine, so imagine we're still applying all these like survival tendencies in situations that are not, no longer want to kill us. The only way in my experience to rewire this is that we have to take our brain into a theta and delta state. So if you look at the different brain states, and this is where it gets a little more scientific. I talk a little bit about it in the book, but there's definitely so many more. Dr. Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, there's so much stuff out there. Everything's on YouTube for free. You start learning that by being in those states that are more in homeostasis and relaxing of the brain, then it's easier to access them during the day. So if you don't have a meditation practice where you're constantly in those states of brain relaxation, then you're going to go immediately to the survival ones because you're more, you're addicted to those and those are more handy. So going back to what you were saying, the more that you take time for yourself, and linger in these brain states that are a lot more quieting, the easier you're going to access them when the guy gets you the wrong food at the restaurant.
Yeah, or I come home and there's news on because right. That's really the only time I get angry. Or
do you watch the news a lot?
No.
Good.
I mean, I listen to it on my way to work because I need to know what's going on in the world. I see it on my phone because I need to know what's going on in the world. But, but the pattern is my husband's home. I come through the door. If it's on, it's mute, or it's not on. Uh-huh. I give it a good 4 minutes,
okay.
No more than five, and he starts launching into politics. And I said to myself last night, he goes, you know what? That's the first thing he said. You know what? And I said to myself, I bet he's going to launch into politics. And did you see blah, 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 blah? Uh-huh. And I was like, I wanted to peel my skin off my body. But then I was like, yeah, I mean, I need to change.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say I hear you, and that does work.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't want to hear you. That's really what I want to say. But yeah, meditation. You're right. 100%. It will calm you down.
Well, it will calm you down and then you'll have more access to empathy with him.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It's like, do you know the whole thing about, the subconscious mind runs 95% of everything we do. And then conscious. So right now you and I are having a 5% conversation. This is going to do nothing for our life. This is just entertainment, which is nice.
Right.
But we got to go into the hard drive of the mind and to very efficiently access the subconscious is through meditation. When you go into a meditation state, your brain goes on delta, then you have direct access to the hard drive of the mind. And that's how you can really rewire how your day is.
So let's take that because you said, let's talk about, and people love to talk about manifestation, but I mean, it is a real thing. How does meditation help you create the life you want?
Okay. So in my experience, when I meditate, I stop having resistance to beliefs, limiting beliefs, like I'm not good enough. I'm not lucky enough. So imagine, Lynn, like you started a meditation practice, 5 minutes a day. And if you are going to do it, I'm like subliminally telling you to do it.
I'm writing down.
You want to do it in the morning because right when you wake up, your brain is on theta. You can look this up. When your brain's in theta, you're highly suggestible. So imagine, so you're putting, whether you want to do a guided one, there's a million ones on YouTube.
What do you do?
I usually do Dr. Joe Dispenza's guided meditations. And again, you can find them on YouTube. I do a gratitude one every morning, right? 15 minutes.
Before you get out of bed.
Yeah, before I get out of bed. So here's my ritual. Grab my notebook, my Gav notebook, which I brought you one. I write my three gratitude, affirmation, visualization. I think of what my greatest intention of the day is. For me, it's usually to embrace the unknown.
What was it today?
To embrace the unknown.
Okay.
Usually let's embrace it. So I call this like, this is like my think moment, right? Where I create, I don't blindly go into my day, Lynn. I want to create what my day is going to look like.
Yeah, most of us just go with the wind.
Yeah, you want to take come on, you're the most special thing in the world for you. Like, you want to take a moment, take a beat, create your day, and then I'll go into my gratitude meditation, 15 minutes. And while I'm in that meditation, I think about what my intention of the day is. So now, in my experience, what I've found is since I'm doing the meditation practice, I'm doing the journaling in the morning, I almost feel like it's rewired a lot of my limiting beliefs. I feel everything. So whether I want to manifest a job or a soulmate or better health or whatever, I feel that those things are a lot more attainable. And that recording that I had of like, oh, it's never going to happen to you.
What were some of your limiting beliefs that are thinning out?
Is it thinning out?
What you said, not good enough.
Yeah.
Give us an example of a limiting beliefs.
Well, you know, career wise, I'm having a really great moment. Mm-hmm. All these things that I've actually put in my manifestation are coming through. I was telling you about that show in Dubai that I'm starting to produce. And also, you know, whether like, I'm single at the moment, I'm dating, but life is, it's almost like I'm happy and I'm peace, but not so much because of like who's in my bed or not, or the money that I'm getting or not, or even my health or not. What I'm really clear about is that these are all crutches that will say, okay, so once you have the partner, you're going to be happy.
Right.
Once you have the job, and you know how the mind works, mm-hmm. it'll recalibrate. All of a sudden mm-hmm. you get the partner and it's like, no, but I wanted a partner that had more money and a yacht. No, it's
can
like,
I exchange?
So all of a sudden you get the one with a yacht. No, but I didn't want an alcoholic. So until what point are we going to constantly give those, it's almost like you're saying, I refuse to be happy
right.
until this happens.
Right. You'll never be happy.
Never. But guess what? The moment that you're happy with what is, then the shift starts to come. That's the analogy of you're cleaning out the projector. And then all the pieces start to line up. So then you realize that the husband that watched the news or whatever that triggered you was the gift, so you can overcome your environment. So my biggest thing, Lynn, I'm here to overcome my environment. Mm. Getting my chipped tooth yesterday was my environment. Not having the keys to get into my house at 1 in the morning was my environment. But that I was able to overcome it the way that I did, that's the magic.
That's the changing of the brain.
Yeah, that's the neuroplasticity right there. And then that's showing me this, it's better than getting what you want, because it's almost like a bulletproof formula way of being that I'll always be good regardless of what I have, regardless of my health. Because you know what? This thing's going to go too.
Right.
But right now, as I'm sitting with you and I'm in good health and I'm enjoying this beautiful view and your lovely cat and your lovely present, this is as good as it gets.
See the good.
Yeah.
That recently happened to me. I have a trainer, Masi, I love you. But I have a friend.
We love Masi Miranda.
I love Masi.
Best trainer in the world. Ask Lynn about it.
I mean, this is another guy I see because Masi took a break. Anyway, in Fort Lauderdale, I would say like a month ago, and he's not that far away, but everything was going, quote, wrong that morning. Got in the eye, huge crash. My husband's like, it's going to be this huge crash. You should avoid it. Of course, I jump on the eye. And I was like, wow, I think I'm going to be. Then it started raining really hard. And then I get there. I'm 15 minutes late. I text him and he didn't text back. I'm like, that's weird. I show up and I see he's with another woman. And I was like, he goes, oh, did I have you today? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm 15 minutes late. He's like, maybe. And my back was killing me. I did something to it. Uh-huh. And I just said to myself, and I said out loud to him, because I was really telling myself, I'm like, it's okay. I'll just stretch for 15 minutes and we'll do 30 minutes and it'll be fine. He's like, are you sure? It worked out because I needed to stretch. I shouldn't have done an hour with him. I didn't get mad at him or me or traffic. And I just felt better. I felt great. I was like, look at you. And I patted myself on the back. Yeah. Like, you really could have lost your mind, but you went to look at the good in the situation instead of the bad, whatever
exactly.
the bad is.
So one of my chapters is every no is a yes. Mm. And once you start getting intimate with this method and really following kind of the formula, then it's exactly what you said, Lynn. You start coasting through life. And, you know, someone cancels dinner day of, you immediately know that it's good, that something else is going to open. You hit traffic, you know that it's good. You know that it's part of the plan, and you don't start attacking yourself like, oh my God, I'm always late. What is she going to think of me? What are they going to, you just know, no, it's all good. Like it's a quantitative effect that starts to happen where you start by having compassion with other people and yourself. It's like the Bible kind of had it right. What it said, love thy neighbor like you love thyself. Like if I hate you, I hate me.
Right. So true. So Louise Hay, I'm sure you love her too. She has a saying that said, everything is happening for my greater good. Yeah. A long time ago before she died, she said to type that up and put it in your wallet, which I do. Because we do forget, we do attack ourselves when things don't go as we plan. Uh-huh. I want to review a couple of things because people listen to this while they're running or jogging or walking. So some of Jorge's tips are when it comes to complaining, I love this hack. Tell one person only so you can vent and not complain.
Yeah.
Don't use the person's name so you don't like add to that negativity. Some of the commandments in your book. You say, be generous. In other words, listen.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree. You just say, I hear you. Because you do hear, I hear you talking.
And by the way, all the hacks are on the website under the Ten Commandments, so they can find them all.
Excellent.
Well. Yeah.
You are a firm believer in meditation, 5 minutes in the morning to retrain your brain.
Yeah. It's so important, Lynn. I know it's annoying.
well, before I move on with the meditation though, I what works for me is when, cause inevitably it happens like 30 seconds in or less, my mind will wander and I'll be gentle with myself and say, it's okay, come back.
100%.
See, leave, come back.
Some of my best meditations were the hard ones where I was like, oh, I gotta go pick up the laundry. Yeah. Back. Like, what am I gonna eat? Why isn't he called? Who does he? Oh, that's
right.
So here's the thing, like, meditation just, it's every meditation is great. Even the one, I think, you know why people don't meditate? I'm going to tell you right now. Boy, I want to actually cover this because you're a newscaster. So since we're so wired to survive, we, and I talk about this deep in the book, and I color it with a really fun example. So imagine this. We gravitate towards bad news because our very primitive fight or flight thinks if we know what's wrong, then we're going to stay safe. Right? So guess what? If I'm Toyota or Google and you're my sales rep from CNN, I'm going to go, hey, so why is there a spike on the news at 3 o'clock? Mm-hmm. Oh, because, that's, you know, we cover war and like rape. And I'm like, great. Keep those numbers up. So it's a business.
So I know this.
I mean, if anyone knows this, is you.
Right. And I have felt guilty about that. So I can't go to work every day feeling like I'm hurting people. So I tell a different story to myself. I say, these are things that, that are happening in the world, in our neighborhood, in our community. These are important things and everybody has a choice. To eat at McDonald's every day or not.
Or have McDonald's or have the fries once a month or whatever.
Right. And there's no judgment, but it's a free country, free world. And so that's what I tell myself. I personally cannot consume everything that we dole out. I think it's very unhealthy for me. So yes,
I think you nailed it. And I think that it's almost like this. Like if I'm the guy from Google that's buying ad space, right? Guess what? I have a family too that I need to feed.
Right.
And when I sell my quota, my kid's going to go to private school. So there's no enemy here.
Right.
It's a business. Like, listen.
It is a business.
When my mom was going through chemo and the whole thing, I remember Baptist just a hospital created the new cancer center. And I walked in there and I was like, oh my God, this is a business.
Yes.
Like you just felt like the millions of dollars. And then I see the little jars of candy and in my head, I was like, oh my God, they're giving away sugar, which everyone knows sugar gives candy. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, I'm at a used car shop. Like this is,
but you're aware.
But guess what, Lynn? There are nurses there that feed their families because my mom has cancer.
Yeah.
So I'm not demonizing Big Pharma. I'm not demonizing anybody. I think that everything is a balance and, you know, there's nothing wrong. In fact, the whole thing with the news for me, it's like, if you're going to watch the news, try not to do it before bed because you're about to hit theta, which is you're about to hit your subconscious mind. So you try to do it throughout the day. Just go in, try not to do it first thing in the morning. I know it's hard. I pick up my phone first thing in the morning too, and I go through Instagram, even though like I know I'm not supposed to. But now it's mindfulness. Now it'll be like, maybe one or two funny stories and then it's done. I don't go into like Apple News and hear about Gaza first thing in the morning or whatever.
Right.
So it's all, you said it beautifully. It's a balance.
It is a balance. And my tip would be if you are, you know, I obviously I make a living doing the news too, but I feel like my, for example, my husband, use an example. Sorry, honey. He really only watches one type of news.
Yeah.
And I feel to be well-rounded on anything, you have to have a balance of all types of direction because it is a business and everybody has a message.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out what your message is.
Yeah.
Another tip from Ray, oh my God, this was such a good one. You said, when you're happy with what is, you shift. Mm-hmm. So it kind of sounds like the dentist, me on I-95, accepting, right? And then you shift.
Yeah,
Maybe you don't even have to be happy. You could just accept, and that could lead to happiness. Yeah.
Actually, if you know, in my Instagram, which is just Jorge Perez Jr., I've been doing these videos to promote the book. A lot of the book content is on these little videos, and I did one called "Getting What You Want Is a Crutch." And what I mean by that is that, yeah, it's really easy to be happy. You want it to be sunny, it's sunny. You don't want it to be rainy, it's not raining. But when we don't get what we want, right? When I don't have the keys to get into the house at 1 a.m. and my tooth gets chipped the next day, who am I in the face of that environment? You know?
Yeah.
And that's when we were talking before about probably how you felt after that training session where you're like, oh, it's fine. I'll just stretch. My back was hurt. You noticed, right? That the universe was actually saying, Lynn, you don't need a full workout right now. You need to actually stretch. So when you, whether that night or at that moment, you looked at the situation, you're like, you know what? This is what I needed. So
yes.
when we surrender to the moment of the reality of life, we realize that it's what we need.
You're giving me too much credit. I was just actually in the moment practicing not being angry and accepting what is. And then later in the day, I was like, oh, that actually worked out beautifully.
Yeah. So, well, as you start adopting not complaining, uh-huh. I'm telling you, cause I'm the test bunny on this.
Not complaining.
You're going to find it easier not to be reactive more and more and more. And if you do get reactive, it's fine. It's going to be really short.
Good stuff. You know, my good friend Belkis Nuri always tells me, because she's Cuban and a screamer, she's always like, let it out. Tell him what you think. I don't, and I'm like, you know, it's not me. And I find, you know, I don't know. I always feel worse, like we talked about at the beginning of this podcast. Yeah. You know, when you just blow up like a volcano. I don't know.
Run, you know, I really encourage people, life is an experiment. Run an experiment. This is my experiment assignment for you. 1 week of meditation, five minutes every morning. First thing when you wake up, do it as an experiment. Go on YouTube, write 5 minute meditation. It'll be a waterfall or river thing and see how you feel week after and notice how your life, notice all these things that are going to happen in your life that see what happens is once we start experiencing the benefits of anything that we're running as an experiment, you're going to want to do it more. And that's how you start instilling that behavior.
Okay. You got it, Jorge. For 1 week, I'm going to do 15 minutes.
You're going to write on your
tab
on your
15
notebook.
Minutes? No, five. Yeah. It was like, I'm never going to make 15.
And you have to think about it this way. We're so trained on fight or flight.
Yes.
That for the human body to close its eyes, it's not safe. It goes against everything that we're wired not to do.
Since you do it in the morning, does it make you want to go back to sleep?
No, I sit up and do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes I do laying down, but I'm so used to it, you know?
Okay.
So I get it. If you're a novice, if it's a new thing for you, sit on a chair, just close your eyes. It's not a big deal. You can think about the laundry. You can think about your ex. Mm. Just come back as much as you can. 5 minutes, 5 minutes.
Definitely don't want to think about my ex, but okay.
I mean, if you think that, bring yourself,
come back. Awesome. Okay. So, if you want to get a hold of Jorge, you can go to his website, stfumethod.com or on Instagram. What's your Instagram?
Yeah. Jorge Perez Jr.
And tell us how to get your book.
So, okay. So right now I'm in the process of finishing all the everything I need to publish it. And, but if you go on the site right now and you subscribe to the newsletter, you're going to get the first four chapters of the book. You're going to see it links to my Instagram,
which you'll get
for free.
Nice.
For free. You're going to see the videos that I'm constantly making about the book. And I think the videos are just a lighter way to even get people excited and more used to the book before it comes out. But I'm telling you, the people that I've sent the book to, and you read, what did you think?
I was like, oh my God, Jorge, you're my twin. Yeah, no, you water everything down so it's easy to understand. You give examples.
Yeah.
And it's just like this podcast. It's just a different way of thinking and handling our emotions and thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. When does your book come out?
It'll be within a month.
Okay.
And it'll be on the website. You'll be able to buy it. The pre-sales. We'll have a whole thing set up for you guys.
Awesome. So I'm going to practice shutting the F up. Well, not repressing.
Not repressing. Tell one person. Go to the source.
Tell one person. You won't believe what happened.
And you know what? But here's the thing about mindfulness. You can have fun with it. So I called my sister and I said, okay, you're my 1.5. And we laughed. Like life becomes so much more fun.
Yeah,
it does. It's not this like... You know what I'm saying?
Negative, heavy.
You can have fun with it. You can tell two people. It's fine. But guess what? You won't be rapidly telling everybody and driving your body through all these like stressful states like we're so accustomed to doing.
Thank you, Jorge, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're awesome.
You are too.
A reminder to everybody, submit your questions on adviceforlifewithlynn.com. And while you're there, sign up for my free email. You'll be the first to get my weekly blog on how to live consciously and peacefully. You'll also get access to my free happiness guide when you sign up. Also, I'm looking for guests with different ways that they can help the Advice for Life with Lynn followers. So reach out, maybe if you think you've got something to say and you want to be on the podcast. Lastly, please subscribe and rate my podcast on iTunes. I really care about what you think, so tell me how I'm doing. I want your thoughts. The links are in the show notes and also on the website. I want to help as many people as I can with this podcast, so your shares, your subscribes, and reviews help us gain visibility in the iTunes store and they help us reach more people. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. And remember, there is nothing we can't talk about.